Kuf Yud Beis, page Kuf Yud Beis, Halacha Kuf Tezayin, Vahafta Mesager. Okay, Kuf Yud Beis. I'll tell you a good story about Rav Shlomo Zalman. I told this to you probably for once, Rav Arbach. Let's first see what the halacha. Very, very straightforward. Again, page Kuf Yud Beis, Halacha Kuf Tezayin. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to love the ger. Look at the expression of the Sefer HaChassidim. He doesn't just tell you the halach in dry words. One of the beautiful things about the Sefer, we saw so many times, is the way he expresses a very basic, simple halacha. He doesn't just say, oh, there's a mitzvah to love a ger. He doesn't say that. Mitzave oisan lehoiv es hanichnos tachas kanfei hashechina. What is a ger? A ger is a person who was on the outside. He was away, he was distant from the shechina, the hashrohas hashechina. By entering into klal yishol kabbalas hamitzvahs, brismila tzvila, he has entered under the wings of the shechina. Lekayim, for what purpose? To fulfill es kol hamitzvos v'hatorah. Okay, that's what a ger is. A ger right away tells what is a real ger. A ger is not a person who comes to megayer to get married. That's the biggest problem today, because the vast majority of gerim today are coming to the batadidim to be megayer because they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that is Jewish, and their future mother-in-law or their father-in-law will not allow the marriage to take place until they convert. Unfortunately, this is the reality that goes on in the world today. That's the vast. They don't allow. We don't allow. They don't allow.
Say someone's a ger for 20 years. Felt the man she got in cup. He wants to become a guardian.
No such thing. No, impossible to go out. It is once a Jew, impossible. It is impossible to leave Yadus. Impossible. You can dunk in all of the waters of the world to be baptized. It doesn't make one bit of a difference. It is once a Jew, it is impossible to be removed from Klal Yisrael. No ands, if buts, there is no exception. The world is no nullification. There is no Hataras Nedarim. There's no She'ela Behegdish. There's no chacham. There's nothing you can do. Once you makabel upon yourself to be a Jew, there's bris milah, and there's tefillah b'mikvah, and kabbalas hamitzvahs, and a short period of time passes that proves that your acceptance was sincere. There is no way out. Now, we discussed this whole process. Bizman hazeh, there are gedolei Yisrael that very, very few, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is a very, very, very big machmir. He was a very big machmir. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, my cousin, Rav Meir Soloveitchik, he's bound by his grandfather, and that's why he's not really, I don't think he's involved that much in Geirus, in his work, because his grandfather, if I'm not mistaken, was a very, very big machmir on Geirus. Anyone that there was any shemetz, that the reason why he wants to be megayer is because he wants to get married, you don't not accept it. Nothing to talk about. This is a das yochid, and this is not accepted. This opinion in Klal Yisrael today. Anyone that wants to be megayer, it doesn't matter why. You can come with your girlfriend, your boyfriend. I want to be megayer because I want to marry this person. Gesunte hate. If you want to be megayer, everyone is accepted. However, it has to be sincere. It has to be. There has to be certain. Therefore, every bezdin has a training program. I don't think there's any Orthodox bezdin in the world that will allow you today, under normal circumstances, that will allow you to be megayer in less than 2 years.
Right.
I can't imagine. I don't think there's such a thing today.
You have to live like
2 years. 2 years. There's 2 years of practice. I maybe there are bezdinim in Eretz today. Today, what has happened is that in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut, they have flexed their muscles, and they have declared that we are in charge of gerim all over the world, and they've made a lot of noise, and even though they're not, but they claim that they are, and they have succeeded to a very large, everyone is afraid of them. And all of the when someone becomes the ger, the question is, will the rabbanut accept this gerus? You can go, you can take any three rabbanim and go into your backyard and become a ger. Who's stopping you? Question is, will it be accepted in the rest of Klal Yisrael? So for many, many years, the people in America, the rabbanim in America, never dawned upon them that the gerus that they perform has to be accepted by anyone. If we're megayer someone in America, we are rabbanim, three good kosher rabbanim, we know Shulchan Aruch, we're megayer someone, of course they're Jewish. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you're a Jew, what's the shaila? Today in Eretz Yisrael, the very, very tough person comes to Eretz Yisrael and says they're Jewish and they want to be recognized by the state that they're a Jew, they'll say, who are you? Who are you?
I have to write letters.
Then who are the rabbanim? They have a list. They block. There's a lot of scandals about this. They blackmailed a lot of rabbanim.
No,
who are very good.
They accept my letters, but I have to provide proof. There are certain proofs that I have to give. Have to show matzeva. If they have, like, say, their parents are dead, you have to show matzeva. You have to show various proof of lineage, marriage certificates from the parents. I have to present all of those things.
So this is something, in the last couple of years, even less than 10 years, it's become a major, major issue in Klal Yisrael Geirus. Is that the Geirus, there is still no official authority that is in charge of Geirus, just a question of, is it accepted? And today, basically, the Rabbanut, because they are the largest rabbinic organization in the world, and the Rabbanut, they're located in the Eretz HaKodesh, so it's become, by default, there's no halacha, you want to be accepted by the rabbanut. That's the way it is, whether we like it or not. And if the rabbanut blacklists a certain rabbi, boy, it becomes scandalous. What goes on? I don't know if you're following the news. Of course, Orthodox rabbis. We're not discussing, forget about it. We're talking about Orthodox rabbis. There are some Orthodox rabbis they're not satisfied with. Why? Who do you go tell anyone you're more religious than someone else? It's become a very big issue. It's a very ugly thing. It's going on the last couple of years.
You don't think it's right or wrong? There's a lot of right to it.
No, there's a lot of right to it. There is a lot of right.
It's very problematic.
It's very sensitive. Because the problem is, Rabbi Yisrael, here's the problem. The problem is, I can't speak for any of you, we've said this many times, the average person, I myself, If I would make believe chas v'shalom that I wasn't part of Klal, and I would go to a Beis Din, it's very unlikely they would accept me. It's very unlikely the average frum person living in Brooklyn, if they would go to a Beis Din, to be megayer, they would be accepted. They would say, "What do you want? I want to be a ger today. I'm good. I daven 2 times a day and I observe Shabbos v'chulu v'chulu." Really? Do you have a television in your house? Have a television? No. Do you have a filter on your smartphone? You don't? No, we're not taking you. Do you learn every single day Torah? I got a family to support. I have to go make money. What do you mean? I don't have time every single day to learn Torah. I don't know if we can accept you. I'm telling you the honest truth. I'm not talking about ultra, ultra charedi bate. I'm talking about the run of the mill, the average batei dinim, they're very suspicious of anyone that wants to be megayer, and they put people through, a very critical analysis if they will take, they'll take a person. And the average person wouldn't pass the test. It's not a joke. The average person, the average from birth person, would not pass the test to become a ger. That's how it is.
It's an advantage to be a Jew now. It makes it very difficult.
No, that's not the reason. The reason is because they want. It's not that if that would be the reason, then.
So you're saying they're overdoing it. Right?
I don't know they're overdoing it. There is no standard of what it means. Right. Kabbalas mitzvahs. Yeah, no one can do every single mitzvah b'shleimut. It's not possible. Not even the biggest Rosh Hashiva can do every single mitzvah b'shleimut. But what there must be is sincerity. And to prove sincerity is something that's very abstract. It's very abstract. You can't go prove with money. You can't prove with any science. It's a certain sense that a bezin has to get, has to feel that this person is for real. And to get that sense, it takes, they want to observe a person over a 2-year period of time. Just because 2 years pass, many of the people don't even know the Aleph Beis. 2 years can pass, they know basic halacha, basic Shabbos observance, basically to daven, to do netilas yadayim before you eat bread. Doesn't mean they know how to make every bracha, they know how to read. But you have to prove a basic sincerity. And the big, big problem today is, most people today are coming to me Magad because they want to marry. They want to marry a Jew. Okay, fine. That's not today. It is accepted by all the Batei Dinim. That is not an issue. Doesn't matter. We don't pass them like Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Then those poskim are very machmer. It's accepted. However, what happens, and this is very, very common, the Megayer, and then they continue their relationship to marry that Jew, and then the relationship dissolves. Right. And then they go back to their old ways. They want to marry a Jew, they're Megayer, and after the Megayer, they get married. They're married for 6 weeks, they get divorced, and the next thing, the guy takes off his yarmulke, is driving on Shabbos, eating non-kosher, went back to his old ways. Question, is this person still Jewish?
That's what I asked.
Is this person still Jewish? This is the biggest problem. This is the biggest problem. Most places can look at every gerus that's done today, al ha'osit. It's al ha'osit. We do the gerus, but it's conditional that the person remain religious for a certain period of the, because since we really can't prove someone's sincerity, and today there are always ulterior motives, so what? If you have ulterior motives, that doesn't change anything, but there has to still be sincerity. And then the test is, what happens if things do not work out according to your liking and the person goes back to his old ways? And it happens all the time. The question is, what status does the person have? So it depends how long they were from, how long they were observant. A person was married for 5 years, and then they get divorced, and then after 5 years they go back to their old ways. There's not a pesach in the world that's going to tell you that he's not a Jew. We remain observant for 5 years. There's nothing to talk about. Nothing to talk about. You remain religious for 5 weeks and get divorced, and then go back to your old ways. Okay, that's a little more difficult. That's a very tough question, and there's no answer to these questions, and every case is a case-by-case study, and it's a very big problem, because what is the status of that, of their children, or of that person, or their children, with regard to all matters of halacha? Are they Jewish or not? Yeah?
When you were listing the criteria, the stricter criteria, I couldn't tell if you were talking about gerus or getting your kid into yeshiva.
Right. They're both the same. It's not a joke. I know someone became a gerus, so one of the conditions was I'm not talking about crazy bati. I'm talking about very, very average. You have a television in the house. If you have a television in the house, we're not taking you. I'm not talking. I know someone who became a gerus. He went to 3 bati dinim. The first bezdin was so extreme, I don't even want to tell you what went on. Okay, and he persevered. What? You'd be surprised. They don't. They may not ask you. They may not say you not take television out of the house. But they'll say to you, are you watching television 6 hours a day? Okay, well, you have to have a job. I don't know how you have time for that. But it's not so simple. There are a lot of different members of the Bezdin American RCA. There's a lot of overlap. There are a lot of different members. It's a very big vat. There are a lot of different rabbanim on these. Rabbi Ram from the Lower East Side. I think he's the head. Rabbi Ram. Rabbi Herschel Schechter is involved. They're much more open minded. They're much more open minded than some of the Haredi. The very heavy Haredi. But it's no. They don't just give you a pass. They don't give you a pass. They give you a hard time. They give you, there's a lot of resistance. That's the halacha. The halacha is you are supposed to give resistance. You are supposed to give a resistance. The question is how much and what exactly should a ger, what should be his level of observance when he becomes a Jew? It's not possible to take a person that knows zero and is inspired to be a Jew and within 2 years to be fully observant. It's impossible. It's impossible. You know what's really impossible? The impossibility is to understand that, you see this a lot, you have this with Gerim, to understand that there's a difference between being Mechalel Shabbos and not when you wash Negel Vas, when you wake up in the morning to wash, let's say, to do your hands, you know, to alternate your hands. Minhagim. A lot of Bali Tshuva, they look at a minhag with the same severity as Chil Shabbos. And it's like funny sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like funny, they'll walk with you in the street, so they don't want you, they don't want to stand on your right side. Because they learned in the Gemara that if you stand on your right side, you're called a boor. So walking with another person and standing on his right side in their eyes is as severe as murder. Now the average religious person doesn't even know there's a difference between walking with someone on the street between the right side and the left side. But someone who's a newcomer...
They're kind of trying too hard.
Right, right. So it's a very, very big problem.
The biggest problem is that the deciding voice is a clerk in the Tel Aviv Rabbanut.
All right, getting into politics now. Let's not get into politics. No politics.
But it's easier for a woman because she doesn't have to put on two elements.
Hilchas Nidosh, Tires HaMishpacha.
Yes, but it's not the same as a man. Every day you
can see. Everyone has their things. Everyone, for some people, a mikvah is anathema. A mikvah, I tell you, go to a mikvah. Some people, no way, over my dead body would I go into a mikvah. Everyone has their things. For some people, everything is easy. Some people, there's one little thing they will not touch. And that's a problem. If a ger says, I will observe all the mitzvahs, but I'm not putting on tefillin. I am not putting the leather around. I'm not going to go raise my blood pressure by tying these straps around my arm and cutting off my circulation. I'm not doing that. I'm not putting on tefillin. I don't care. I'll do everything. I'll fast Yom Kippur, Sfeika D'Yoma, 2 days. But I will not wrap those straps around my arm. I'm sorry. He's not accepted.
Right.
If you have a frum Jew, a very nice, fine, and he doesn't want to put on tefillin because of... So, he doesn't put on tefillin. So, he can still get an aliyah. He's a Shomer Shabbos. He has a mishigas. He doesn't want to do one mitzvah. It's a big problem. It's a big problem. But he's a Jew. A Jew is a Jew. He'll get his kids into yeshiva. They'll honor him. As long as he gives enough money, they'll honor him. They'll overlook all of his chesroinus. But how could you not do a mitzvah? How could you not put on tzitzis? You know how many frum people don't wear tzitzis? They're not interested. Now, the truth, you'll say, you don't have to wear, you have all
you
these things.
You don't have to wear tzitzis.
You're right. If a ger would come today to, let's say, the most modern Beis Din, the RC, the most lenient standards, and would say, I will be mekabel kol ha-Torah kula, but I will never, ever put on a talis katan. I don't hold of a talis katan. I know the halacha, only if you're wearing a garment of four corners are you mechuyev to put on tzitzis. I don't want to put myself in a situation where I have four corners to wear a talis katan. Technically, he's right. He's not in violation of halacha. I do not believe, it could be that I'm wrong, but I do not believe there is any bezin in the world that would take such a person as a ger. You're going against the grain of yadus. Not everything in yadus is halacha. A major chunk of yadus is minhagim, is what is accepted, what a religious Jew does. You don't want to wear your talis katan every single day? Okay, fine. Okay, so you don't wear it. I go to work, I can't wear a shirt and wear a talis katan, but I'm not going to work. Of course I'll put on a talis katan. And every Sunday I'll wear a talis katan. I'm a lawyer, I have to sit and wear a suit and shirt, and I have to work very hard. I can't, okay, fine. But Sunday morning, if you're not going to put on a talis katan, and you tell me no way in the world, that's problematic.
Yeah.
But let's say you have a frum Jew, someone who's shomer Torah mitzvahs, and he refuses to put on a talis katan. So, once you got in, you grandfathered in, you grandfathered in. No, you don't, we don't look. It's none of your business. Mind your own business. He doesn't want to do this. Doesn't. There's laws in Shulchan Aruch. What counts is Shabbos. He's Shomer Shabbos, you're pretty much good to go. If you're a Shomer Shabbos. A ger, my observance of Shabbos will be 100%, 1,000%. But other things I will not do. Peshitta. He doesn't stand a chance of becoming a ger. There's no bezdin in the world that will take him. He's a rebel. This is not what Yadus is. Just sign the papers. You'll do what he'll do everything. And then after he becomes a Jew, he slacks off. That's already a different story. So here he writes here, he writes over here, L'kayim. Look how he writes what it means to becoming a ger. He's writing over here, Derech Agav. Anichnas, tachas, kanfei hashchina. See, most of us, I would even say to myself, if you want to be poetic about a ger, what would you say? I would say, oh, this fellow, he's a tzaddik. He was nichnas, tachas, kanfei hashchina. I personally, in my mode of speech, would stop right there. You have to love this fellow who went against the grain in this world where you can do whatever you want and was willing to become a Jew and nichnas tachas kanfei hashchina. The Sefer Chassidim doesn't stop there. In his expression, in being ma'arich, he says, l'kayim es kol ha-mitzvahs v'ha-torah. That's quite a statement. Okay, it's quite a statement for him to hear those words. He didn't need to say anything. All he needs to say is, love the ger. Just love the ger. No. He was nichnas, tachas, kanfei hashem. Wow, what a beautiful expression. That includes everything.
See what he says on the side, more than you love Hashem, you should love.
You should love him.
More than Hashem.
Ahav ha-sh'oiv ha-ger l'makayim. Yose me'av ha-sh'yisrael o'ev l'makayim. Is more than the love Yisrael, wow. And he goes on to say, because the number of mitzvahs, he goes on to tell you the numbers. What are the numbers? 36 times in the Torah, his hira, Torah al havasai, on the love of the ger, not to cause them harm, bein oinoas mamon, whether to steal their money, bein oinoas, the learn to be super sensitive in what you say to them. The love that Hashem has for them, and the chaviva lifnei hamakom yoyser me'avasan shel Yisrael, more than the love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. It's a shocking statement. One loves the king, and one the king loves him. Mi gadol, which one is greater? It's simple. Oisai shehamelech oyhavai, the one that the king loves. Nimsa Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, we love Hashem, but Hashem loves the Gerim. So who's greater? The Gerim are greater, because Hashem loves them. Al kain, therefore, mitzvah leinu le'oyves mi shamelech oyves. Someone is a mitzvah upon us to love the one that the melech loves. Lefichach kasa ksiv, it says vahavtem es hager. He's giving us a whole flavor. The reason why he's giving us a time for the pshat and the pasuk. The reason why we have a mitzvah to love the ger is because Hashem loves the ger, and the love that the Hashem has for the gerim is greater than the love that Hashem has for us. It's a very big chiddush, but that is how he presents it. I remember once I was talking with a very, very, very great person who had a position in the yeshiva, and there was someone trying to get into the yeshiva, and the person obviously had a very different background, and he asked me about the person, and he said to me, is he a ger? So I said, yes. So he said, okay, fine. Then everything is going to be different. And I don't understand. So he says to me, you know, we get a lot of requests to get in, all different situations. So a lot of times they're a balei teshuva. So I tell them, no, We just don't have room. We don't have room. We don't have the resources. We're booked. There's just nothing we can do. They have to go. There are other institutions that can help them out. So I tell them no. But when the ger applies, it's a different set of rules. Because the Torah says, v'ahavtem es hager, is a mitzvah deraisa, we're mechuyv al pi halacha to be super duper sensitive. And therefore, he said to me, I have to follow. We have slots for people that are different in our institution, and we give those slots to we make an assessment who would be the best fit, and the candidates, there are a pool of candidates. A ger has kedima to be a candidate for this type of slot because v'haftem es ager. And it was a very big insight, it was a very big eye-opener to me. That's right. And I was like, you know, I was coming from a very chashuv person. And he said, that's the halacha, that's the way it is. And then there's a very beautiful story with Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, a person, a very fine ben Torah with very chashuv yichus, very distinguished yichus lineage. He fell in love with the Geiras. Okay, someone, he read him a shidduch somehow. And he went out with this girl. He did not know that she was a Geiris. And he went out with her, and he really, really liked her, and he wanted to marry her. But it really, really bothered him that she was a Geiris. And he felt from his mishpacha, he comes from a mishpacha, very chashuv yichus, and he just felt, you know, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing by doing this. So he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he told him, Sir, Rav Shlomo Zalman, without a beat, he said, you like her? He says, yeah, you want to marry? He says, yes. He says, do you realize you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah of ahavtem es hager every single second for the rest of your life if you will marry her? And he said, marry her. Don't just marry her because you like her and she's a good person and she has all the milas. There's a mila. There's an advantage of marrying her. By marrying her, you will be mikayim the mitzvah v'ahavtem es hager. If you'll marry a regular girl, even if you like her just as much. Okay, so we're not assuming that's going to happen. We think positive. We're not looking for trouble. Oh, you'll tell me the statistics are. The statistics are azoy and azoy. You don't look at statistics. You look, it's like the lottery. They've done a study. 99.9% of people who win the lottery are miserable. 10 years down the line are miserable. Yet there's never been a person that stopped them from buying a lottery ticket. It's never, ever. But what about the statistics? Do you realize if you win this ticket, you go to the people that are waiting online to the Powerball, $100 million, $1 billion, do you realize? The statistics, tell everyone online, the statistics are 99.9% of the 99.9% of the time, if you will win this ticket, in 10 years from now, you will be miserable.
It should take you 10 years to be miserable.
So, why are you wasting a dollar? No one, not even one person would pay attention to that. Isn't that amazing? So it's the same thing. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Yisrael, Shemei Alav. Next, now we go to another extreme. Let us say, a Yisrael, Shemei Alav, Shu Goy. A whole new halacha. We shift gears very quickly here. If someone says about a Jew, you're a Goy, they assume that you are a non-Jew. Sorich loymar Yehudi anof. There's a mistake. Let's say in the census. Let's say they every 10 years you have to register your ethnicity, and by mistake you're listed as being a white. You're listed as being an whatever you are, and there's an option to be listed as a Jew, and you are recorded or you are referred to, you are known in your company, wherever you live, as being a guy, so he's very, very machmir. Tzorich loymar Yehudi ano, minolon mimoshe rabbeinu levasholem. Omar. Okay, so then there is safety. Anti-Semitism, there is safety. Ein hachinami, there are many exceptions. Up 100%. Where you are in a hostile environment, it's dangerous. Of course, Unishmartem me'oid l'nafshay seichem. But when you are in a situation when there is no imminent danger, you're not to be ashamed that you are a Jew. And Adarabba, it says here, according to the Sefer Hasidim, there is a mitzvah. He's very strong words. There is a mitzvah. I didn't say mitzvah. Tzarech. Tzarech loymar, Yehudi ani, minolon, mimoshe rabbeinu, olav ha-sholem, omar, ribonoi shaloylam, yikonsu atzmo saibaretz. If I'm not going to enter into Eretz Yisrael alive, at least let my bones enter into the main part of Eretz Yisrael. And there, I'm a Bereshit Lomel, because that's a little bit of Eretz. Hoyel v'loiz chisid likonis, k'moy atzmoy says, no worse than Yosef. Omar ha-kadosh baruch hu, demoide ba'are yikove ba'are. A person that admits that he's a citizen of this land merits that his bones are buried in this land. Yosef, al-sha'omar, ki gunoiv gunavti mi'eretz ho'evrim. When he was accused of ages by Tifar and he was in the dungeon by Tifar, and he told the Sar Hamashkim to remember him, and he said, "Ki gunoiv gunavti mi eretz ho'evrim, zochu atzmoisav likover ba'aretz." I'll tell you a good verse in one moment, Mamash, about this. Aval ata you Moshe Rabbeinu she sakta. You were silent. Ki she shamata she'amru alecha ish mitzri hitzilenu miyad horoim. When the benois Yisroi told their father, Yisroi, that an Ish Mitzri has saved us, and you did not protest. I'm not a Mitzri, I'm a Jew. We just finished Pesach, the Haggadah. Why do we drink 4 cups of wine? There are 2 reasons. Rashi, the Masechta, Arve Pesachim. There are 2, I know probably your grandchildren told you 100 reasons, but there are 2 primary reasons. Number 1, the Yitzesi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti. What's the 2nd primary reason? The 4 koisois of the Sar Hamashkin. Or really it's 3, 4, 5, we discussed this. It says really 5 times 4, 3, but it's the koisois of the Sar Hamashkin. Yosef interpreted the dream of the Sar Hamashkin, and in the process of relating the dream and interpreting the dream, the word kois is mentioned 3/4/5 times, and that's why we have 4 koises. Question, why is that such an integral part of the Haggadah, such an important, critical reason that Rashi, this is the only reason that Rashi cites. Rashi cites both of them. And question number 2, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned anywhere in the Haggadah, except Derech Agav. Derech Eret Agav. Vayeminu ba'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdoi. How come? The answer is right here in this Sefer Chassidim. The contrast between Yosef and Moshe. When Yosef interpreted the dreams, the Kois Paroi, in that episode, Yosef says something that is so critical to Yadus, it changes the whole Yadus. Depends, we have to remember the story of the Kois Paro because it changes our fabric, our DNA. He said, Ki gunoiv gunavti me'eretz ho'ivrim. I did you a favor. I interpreted your dream l'toiv. You're going to get out of here. Don't forget, Ki gunoiv gunavti me'eretz ho'ivrim. I'm a Jew. What is Pesach all about? We're Jews. Pesach is all about the covenant, the beginning, Yitzias Mitzrayim. We are the Am HaNivchar. V'yotzeis Yeschem, the Eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out to create us as a nation. We know, you have to know who you are. Yosef was the first person who knew who he was. And when did he reveal this? To the Sar HaMashkim. I gave you an interpretation, and my interpretation will propel you to succeed and to leave this dungeon. And don't forget, ki gunov gunavti me'eretz ho'ivrim. Moshe Rabbeinu, who actually took us out of Egypt, I'm not an Ivri, I'm a Mitzri. Moshe, goodbye. You're not even mentioned in the Haggadah. Yosef, not only do we mention Yosef in the Haggadah, the 4 koisos are all about Yosef. The whole Haggadah is built around Yosef, 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 Yosef. Why? Because Yosef knows who he is. Every time you drink a kois of cheros, this is the kois of Yosef. Yosef knows who he is. And therefore, a person should not underestimate the value, should not underappreciate what it means to be a Jew. And if you have an opportunity to take pride in being Jewish, so be it. Okay, it's a very you know, I'm not a Satmar Chassid, obviously, but you know, I remember the early history of Satmar when the Satmar Chassidim, the survivors, came to America, and the Satmar Rebbe came to America. None of the Chassidim, not even one, wore a strimel. Not even one. The only one who wore the strimel was the Satmar Rav.
When he walked the first Shabbos,
right, the first Shabbos, the
strimel, he was walking with his gabbai.
Now we're even the gabbai wasn't wearing.
And people were laughing.
They were laughing. And you they're laughing at, not at me. They're laughing. He was very sharp, the Satmar Rav. And no, they said to him. They said he told them. He says, in America, we don't do this. We left the strimel at home. In America, you don't wear. He says, no. You have to have pride. Who you are, where you come from. Okay, we're not Hasidim, okay? We don't, this is not our, I think. But it's a very powerful lesson. It's a very powerful lesson. This is the difference between Yosef and Moshe. Moshe, you call me a Mitzri? I'm a Mitzri. It's okay. You have all the excuses. Moshe was a fugitive, right? He was a wanted man. So, I mean, the Adrabba, saying he's a Mitzri is not to his advantage. But whatever, every Mitzri is an advantage, not an advantage. But it's a very powerful contrast that this Maimer Chazal makes Yosef and Moshe. The Haggadah, the entire Haggadah is built around four cups of wine, and the four cups of wine all have on it the name Yosef. And Moshe, who did everything for us to get us out of Mitzrayim, is not even mentioned. What's the difference? Right here. Pesach is about knowing who you are. We are the Am HaNifchar. If you know who you are, take pride in knowing who you are. Don't run away from it. Moshe ran away from it. Unfortunately, he's not mentioned. Yosef embraced it. He gets all the covet. Okay, we'll stop over here, take a short break, and then we're going to learn about Sira Soimer.